You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's once again time to take a look at Property Tuesdays. We do this every other Tuesday, alternating with our Agri Tuesdays. This week's Property Tuesday, we are taking a look at what you need to know about being married in community of property as it relates to home ownership. This is particularly following the fact that you can be considered to be in community of property after something as simple as lobola negotiations, because the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act of 1998 says that once lobola negotiations are concluded, that those negotiations represent a customary marriage. And such, if you're not very clear about what's going on, you could find yourself in an interesting pickle when it comes to property. We're going to be looking at property ownership and how you navigate that space once you've gone through the lobola negotiations. I'm joined on the line by the director at STBB Attorneys, Hopewell Satege, to take a look at this. Good evening, Hopewell. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start by getting an understanding of the different kinds of structures where it relates to property. I mean, community of property, antenuptial agreements, all of those are legal structures from a marriage point of view. But when it comes to property, how do we understand the differences between these structures?
Sure. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you for having me. So in South Africa, unless you sign an contract, you are married in community of property. So what that means is that before you get married, you have to sign a contract to say that you want to be out of community of property. Now, in relation to property, that's state planning, I suppose. So if you are married in community of property, whatever assets that you have, whether you had it before or during the marriage, is automatically part of the joint estate. So what that means is that whatever assets that you acquire together then forms part of the joint estate. So it's not just assets, it's also liabilities, whether it's loans and all those sort of things.
Hopewell, yeah. When someone is looking at the property side of it, why would I want to have this conversation ahead of purchasing a property? I mean, let's take a couple that's just concluded lobola negotiations or that has been married. Why do I want to have these conversations before looking at the property acquisition?
Yeah, so I suppose it speaks to estate, right? So whatever assets that you acquire, and we know going through the process of life, we acquire certain liabilities and assets. So it's important to have that conversation too, so that you determine whether you want to share or you want to build this life with this person in relation to property. And difficult conversations that needs to be had, but you need to have it so that you can decide, you know. So for example, when if you decide to get married out of community of property, or in community of property rather, start signing an antenuptial contract, and you have a particular house registered in your name, whether the property is, if you get married and you don't sign an antenuptial contract, that property automatically forms part of the joint estate, regardless that it's owned or is registered only in the name of the one spouse. So it's important to have those conversations so that you can decide ultimately what you want to, what your assets, what needs to happen to them.
Hopewell, what about the purchase itself? Is it wise to then perhaps say, let's finalize a purchase before we finalize the marriage side of it? How does that kind of shape up? Because obviously, if the home is purchased prior to that, again, looking at the different ways the estate can be structured, that means different things. Is it wise to pursue the property purchase prior to concluding the marriage side of things?
I think it's a personal decision. I say this because, you know, some people might say, look, I've had all these assets I've acquired and I want them to be part of my estate so that when I pass, you know, it's divided according to my wishes. And then in certain instances, some people say, look, we are building this life together. We are married. So therefore, whatever we acquire together, it's something that we've built and it's something that we'll share ultimately at death or divorce. So it's really a personal choice in terms of what do you want to do with your assets ultimately.
Hopewell, what about the situations where you have part ownership? So I think about those that might have purchased a joint property. Say we've got a property Stokvel, we purchase a joint property in the joint names of a couple of individuals, and then I elect to go and get married. After that, does my share of that form part of the estate? Is the entire property then subject to that? How do we deal with kind of fractional ownership ahead of the new marriage structure?
Yeah, so and that's exactly, that's quite important in that, you know, whatever assets that you own, whether as a section is part of the joint estate if you decide to get married in community of property, for example. So what that means is that if you're part of a stock sale in your personal name, obviously, in your personal capacity, and you own, say, 25% of the whole of property, then that 25% at death or divorce will then be divided into two, so that a half of that 25% then is part of the estate, or it will be acquired by the spouse. So shutting is important. And then, and I guess maybe let's take it to with business as well. If you're a director of a company and your company is acquiring a credit and they require the director or the directors to sign surety, you cannot do that if you're married in community of property without the consent of the spouse. So what that means is that the spouse will then have to co-sign a consent to the spouse who's a director to enter into a surety agreement.
Hopewell, on the property side of it, on the fractional side of it, what happens post-acquisition? So let's say we've got an antenuptial agreement that's in place with or without accrual, and that's a separate legal debate we can get into at another time. Let's say there's a contract in place and we're saying that the estates are going to be kept separate, and then we go and want to apply for a property as a joint party. Does that then mean that my portion would go into my individual estate in the event of a divorce or a split or something of the sort, and then your portion would go into your estate, even though on the bond application itself we're applying as a joint application?
So when you do a joint application, what that means is that if you both of you see a property that you like, you then sign an offer to purchase, and you still require the property together. So what that means is that, so maybe let me put it in this perspective. So if you acquire property, when you're married in community of property, the both of you guys have to then sign the offer to purchase because it's a joint estate. You know, you can't acquire asset in your sole capacity because it's a joint estate. So which then what that means is that when the property is registered, it'll be part of the joint estate undivided. And then if it's out of community of property, you will acquire the property together and it'll be 50-50. And then on that basis, then you need to apply for a bond in your joint capacity. So the 50-50, so the bond will be registered in both your names.
Hopewell, what about when you're in the situation already? So let's say you're already in community of property and now you want to consider perhaps introducing things like an antenuptial agreement. Can that be done post the marriage and after certain assets have been acquired? And does that then kind of put a line in the sand and say everything from here on forward is governed under this agreement, whereas everything prior is governed in a certain way? And is that a complicated change?
Yeah, and that's a very good question, and especially from the perspective of in community of property. So as I said earlier, that if you want to get married out of community of property, you have to do an antenuptial contract. So what an antenuptial contract is that when you get married, you decide that you're going to have this contract and your assets that are separate. So if you're married in community of property and you decide after marriage that you want to change, then you have to do a court process or court application where the court then gives you consent or to register a postnuptial contract. So what then happens is that it's quite an expensive and involved process, in that you then have to advertise in the local newspaper where it says that because as creditors and third parties are involved, they need to be advised that of the process so that they can decide if they want to object. So after that, then the court will then grant you permission or an order to say that a postnuptial contract can be registered. And then that court order is then taken to the deeds office with the postnuptial contract for that to be registered. So it is quite an involved process, which can be costly, which is why it's important for people to decide and have this chat before they get into marriage, which is a lifetime commitment, as it were.
Some of these conversations are best had before you make the big decisions, because they can have a material impact on the rest of your lives. I think we'll leave the conversation there, Hopewell. Thanks so much for those insights and for the time. Hopewell Satege, who is the director at STBB Attorneys, joining me to take a look at marriage in community of property and how that affects home ownership.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.